Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the podcast at Delphi.org. This is your host, Jim McKeith. And joining me online is the ever-fabulous Nick Hodges.
What can I say?
And today, our special guest is none other than the amazing Carrie Jensen.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you, Carrie. So we wanted to have you on today because you just recently, I guess it was a few weeks ago, released your new book.
That's true. The new book is Delphi In Depth FireDAC. It's about a 550-page book covering FireDAC from everything from initial connection and configuration all through some of its most advanced features. I'm very, very happy with this book. I started writing it at the very end of October after Nick and I finished the course book for Delphi Developer Days 2016. And I hadn't even waited one day, and I guess it was my fingers just needed to do more typing. And I said, I think I'm going to do a book on FireDAC. Actually, to be honest with you, I was inspired by Dr. Holger Flick, who is you guys know Holger.
Yes.
And he had written me a couple of weeks before asking me some questions about my client dataset book, Delphi In Depth, the client data sets. And he wanted more information on FireDAC. And I said, well, you're going to find a fair amount of that in the client data set book, but it's definitely a client data set focus. And that inspired me. So I wrote him back and I said, Holger, I'm going to write a FireDAC book. And he immediately jumped in and offered to do a technical review. And he ended up being one of four technical reviewers. And Holger, if you're hearing this, thank you very much. He did an excellent job as a technical reviewer, and I think all of us together worked to produce something that I'm very happy with, and I think is going to contribute to the literature for Delphi.
550 pages.
Yeah. 115,000 words. Yes, it was bigger than I was expecting. Something I did. Well, here's the short story of it. Since I had three different papers I'd written for Delphi Developer Days on FireDAC, and I had done a couple code rage sessions on it, I thought, you know, I could bang this out in a month and a half. Well, that's always there you go. No, it didn't work out that way. It took a significant amount of work, but I was very pleased in that every step, as I learned more and more about how FireDAC is actually doing its magic, I got more ambitious and kept on adding chapters. I think my initial goal was a 9-chapter book, and it ended up being 17 chapters. So, that's kind of the backstory.
That's impressive. I'm having written, some books, I can say that a 550-page technical book is very impressive.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
And you ought to know.
And I'll tell you what, though, this one I'm very excited about because I can see in a couple of years doing a second edition, updating it with some of the latest features. I'm very excited about that. The last really big book I wrote, other than the Delphi Developer Days books, and the client dataset book was not a short book. I mean, it was quite a lot of writing to consider that it's about one component. But the largest book I wrote before that, and I've got about four or five of these under my belt, was about 1,000 pages, and that was Building Kylix Applications. And when you write of 1,000 pages and there's no second edition, because let's face it, Kylix wasn't around long enough to write a second edition, it kind of hurts, because you expect with all that effort you put into it that you're going to get an opportunity in a couple of years to update it and make it more modern, include some of the latest and greatest stuff. And it turns out the last 3,000 page books I wrote on software, there was no second edition. So this one here, there's a very good bet. I mean, I can see in expanding this into discussion of DataSnap, which I'm not covering in this book. And since we're talking about the book right now, I just want to let everyone know, it assumes that you're using Delphi XE6 or later, which is all of the latest versions. But if you're not using XE6, you'll want to upgrade. In fact, I really recommend that you be using one of the very latest versions of Delphi if you want to get the most out of FireDAC, because there's been a lot of improvement over the years. And really, when you look at Berlin and Tokyo, when you're using those versions of FireDAC, you're really able to do a tremendous amount. But all the examples compiled back to XE6.
Okay, very good. So next question, what's on the cover?
What is the cover? We were wondering about that.
What is that thing? Okay, well, Loy designed the cover, by the way. And it's gone through a number of filters, and we've had, if you note the cover of the client dataset book too, it's some interesting thing. The client dataset book is actually the ceiling of the British Museum in London, where they had just covered the entire outside plaza of the British Museum in this huge glass covering. This picture is taken of just off the walking street in central Frankfurt, and in the building in which this kind of torus-like structure appears is a Saturn media store and lots of other stores too. It's a big shopping mall, and it's got this just amazing glass hole in it. It's really a beautiful structure. And so when we were looking at this, talking about the cover, we had a couple ideas, but this was one of the this is one of the pictures that we thought was really striking and that would make a nice cover.
Did you take the picture?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I figured.
We always use the art we use is our creation.
Nice.
Very good. Yeah, that's a very nice cover. So I have another question. What was the hardest thing you had to figure out when you wrote the book?
Very, very good question. I think probably the hardest and the most important is chapter 3 on configuring FireDAC, because it turns out that that's the key. If you can do so much with FireDAC, but you need to have it configured properly. And that was such a challenge to, in one chapter, and I think it's a pretty long chapter, it's like 30 some pages or so, to try to give a sense and essence of how the configuration works. And there's also a hierarchy and an inheritance type hierarchy to the configuration. So you can, in a single stroke, apply the same configuration setting to all of the data sets you have in your project, or you can configure it on a data set by data set level, or you can configure it on a connection level so that all the data sets connected to one particular connection are configured a certain way. And this actually, it dictates the approach you take to defining data sets and their connections. And it was what I needed to do is, within a reasonable number of pages, convey the essence of what you can configure without the chapter just taking up 150 pages. And so I say in the chapter, as I get to the actual, when we really get to the configuration part, I first introduce the hierarchy and the relationships between the various objects and how the configuration works. But once I get into the details, I say, look, if you see that's, you'll see things here that really strike you as important, and you want to go into the help, either the online wiki or the help that ships with Rad Studio, to see there's a lot of detail in the help. And the help is excellent, but it's just structured differently. So finding that balance was quite a challenge. There was one other thing that was very challenging for me too, and that was because of my familiarity with client data set, I was so aware of how the client data set does certain things, and I had to constantly be on my guard to ignore what I would assume FireDAC would do just because client data set did it. And FireDAC data sets, including the FD query, FD stored proc, FD memtable, and so forth, they all can do a lot of things that only the client data set in the remaining data access frameworks within Delphi can do. A good example of this is in the chapter on cached updates, which is that is probably the most technical chapter in the book. It's chapter 16 of the 17. And it was very, very important that I correctly depict what FireDAC is doing in cached updates, because it sounds almost identical to client data set, but it is not. So there's a couple interesting tricks there. And probably the one code example that I'm most proud of is this little code example that lets you play with generating errors in FireDAC when applying updates. And managing the errors in a cached updates mode is the single most challenging piece. And this simple little project lets you run over and over code that where some records get successfully applied and some fail, and shows you exactly what happens and what the cache looks like after your call to apply updates. And that's, I'm very proud of that, but that really took some thinking through. And again, trying to prevent myself from making assumptions based on what client data set does, since there's a lot of similarities.
Oh, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, I one thing I like about FireDAC is that it has a lot of that functionality that wasn't only in the client data set before, but then kind of feels like it opens it up more and makes it more usable. At least that's my opinion on it. But
yeah.
Unit you wrote, though, the code you just mentioned, though, sounds like it'd be really useful in testing, because I agree that's one of the things that's always the hardest is when you think it's going to work and you haven't actually tested it, you really don't know if it's going to work or not.
You really don't know. So what I did, which was kind of interesting, is I had to turn off some of FireDAC's default checking that verifies whether a required field is there or not. And and FireDAC will actually impose constraints at the client side based on constraints that appear in the database. I had to turn that all off, and then I created just a simple little table that had two fields, and I made both fields required in the database. And then you can enter records where one or both fields are missing their values, and you can enter 20 or 30 of these things and say apply. And not only does it show you, of course, you know, what complicates things is there's three different modes of applying updates when you let FireDAC do it for you. And that's depends on what the parameter you pass to apply updates is. That parameter named AMAX errors indicates your tolerance for errors. And you can say -1, which says I can have any number of errors. Don't just apply what you can and leave everything else in cache. You can say 0, which says I can't tolerate any errors, in which case nothing is applied if at least one error is encountered. Or you can have a positive integer, which says just as long as I don't exceed this number of errors, apply what you can and leave the rest in cache. And those are very, very different calls to apply updates. So being able to play with errors and a number of records that are successful and some are failures, and then you can tweak the max errors within the interface of this little project, it really lets you sit there and over again test and see what happens. And what's really cool about it is that I have two grids, one which displays the current values in cache, and another that shows you the data in the underlying database that actually got posted. And then you got some buttons where you can actually blow away the table and recreate it on the fly. So you can wipe everything out and start again and just do it over and over and over. And I spent a lot of time playing with that before I really could successfully structure the discussion in that chapter about applying errors.
That's impressive.
So the question must be asked. Because you have written books on both, so I got to ask, FDMEM table or client data set?
It depends. And, you know, I actually had in the chapter where I actually have two chapters on FDMEM table. And the first thing I'll say, and this is actually very consistent with what Jim just mentioned, the way that FireDAC is designed, the FD query and FD table and FD stored proc can do almost everything that a client data set can do, or specifically almost everything that a FD mem table can do. In fact, FD query, FD stored proc, and FD table contain an FD mem table, and that's how they do their magic. In the chapters where I'm introducing FDmem table, I make that point. One of the, you know, like with an FD query, you can say save to file or save to stream and load from file, load from stream. In the pre-FireDAC world, we had to use a client data set if we wanted to do persistence. But you can use an FD query, which is really the FireDAC data set of choice, to do so many of these really high-end things. Cached updates, for example. And then I said, however, the FDmem table itself does not completely replace the client data set. The client data set can do some things that the FDmem table cannot do. And likewise, the FDmem table can do things, and FD queries and FD stored procs can do things that the client data set can't do. One thing that the client data set can do that FDmem table cannot do is obtain a master detail nested data set type relationship from a data source that has master detail relationships associated with it. The FDmem table can obtain nested data sets from databases that support data set fields. So that if the database itself supports this nested data set fields, then the FDmem table can, or an FD query for that matter, can go out and get data and have a nested data set in one or more fields. But the client data set can grab this information from a master detail type query and embody it in a single data set. And it can do so very easily. And then that can be used in a cached updates mode. And FDmem table can't do that. Having said that, the FDmem table has a number of capabilities that the client data set doesn't have. For example, you can call load from file repeatedly on a FDmem table and layer in two or more files into the common FDmem table. That is a really cool capability. And you have all sorts of control over what happens if there's inconsistencies. For instance, if the fields don't match, that's okay. It can merge, or you can have errors raised if you want. It's all configurable, and it both applies not only to the actual data you're pulling in, but you're also, you can configure what happens with metadata when you're pulling in different files into an FDmem table, which, as I said, you can do that with an FD query too, but it's doing it internally with an FDmem table. So the answer is the FDmem table does not replace a client data set. The FDmem table does many of its things more efficiently. It's completely written in Delphi rather than being based on an external C library. And the FDmem table can handle a tremendous amount of data. In fact, let's see, I can't remember how big it was, but I created a couple million record, very large multi-million record. It was a 5 million record FDmem table just last week as a demonstration. I was trying to do some performance testing. And this is not just a normal 5 million record table. It had 85 fields.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're talking about a really big table. You could not do that with a client data set. You get a client data set, starts getting enough stuff in memory, a couple hundred thousand bytes of stuff in memory, and it starts to really slow down, and then it goes downhill exponentially. So the client data set has some very definite limits that the FDmem table does not have. So really the answer is you need them both. I do not want to see client data set go away. I think I've mentioned it to you. I certainly have mentioned it to Marco. There's going to be a place for client data set unless there's some major changes introduced or additions added to FDmem table. But the FDmem table is very nice. And I found a number of situations where the FDmem table could handle data and the client data set could not.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I had to ask though. Sorry.
No, it's a great question. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to FireDAC, the FDmem table, in terms of you as a developer using components, it plays a much, much smaller role than if you were using something like DB Express or IB Express or some other data access mechanism and client data sets. It plays a much smaller role because the FDmem query itself, because it has an internal FDmem table, does so much of the things that we were relying on for from client data sets. Oh, and I one other thing, and I'll just mention it too, is When it comes to clone cursors, client data sets rock. And and with FireDAC, there are some very strong limitations to what you can do with a clone cursor. And clone cursors are one of those things that if you haven't used them, you'll just probably shrug and say, I don't really need clone cursors. But if you ever used them at any kind of depth, you've kind of figured that they're a really critical piece of technology that can do some very fancy things.
You know, one of the things actually with FireDAC is I find that I use the FDMEM table a lot, just the FDMEM table for so many things, even if I'm not really working with databases, just because it's such a useful construct, a way to put some data in memory and work with it and stuff like that. So
that's a really good point, Jim. And that's pretty much the conclusion, one of the conclusions I come to when talking about FDMEM table. You're not going to use it in the day-to-day things that you did with the client data set, but as a standalone data set where you can build a structure on the fly. Like I had one example I used in the book where I said, okay, here's an example. I want to be able to store during the life of the application information about the contents of some directory structures. So I'm going to have fields that are like, when the file was created, its size, the name, and so forth. There's no database out there that I can query to get that information from. I have to build that structure dynamically and then populate it, for instance, with a T directory, a T file from the IOUtils unit. But that structure has to come from somewhere. And that is a beautiful example of FDMEM table. I need a structure. I need to hold data. Maybe I'm persisting it and restoring it later, but I need that structure.
So I was just looking at the table of contents here on your book. Do you have a section that covers the ETL functionality in FireDAC?
Yes, the array DML, and I tell you what, I think that array DML, the batch command processing, is one of the coolest things. So just for those of you listening, what array DML does is allows you to say, here is a parameterized query, and I'm going to execute it many times. And rather than do the traditional thing, which is you define the parameterized query, you prepare it, bind the parameters for the first value or the first record you want to work on, either it's a delete or an insert or an update, and execute that. Now bind the next parameter and execute it and bind the next parameter and so forth. What you do is you create an array of these parameter sets. So I needed to build some test databases with like 12 million records. And so I built this thing using array DML where it basically took a parameterized query, built 5,000 sets of parameters, and then passed the parameterized query and this array of parameter arrays to the server. Now, not every server supports this particular function, but Interbase does, and Oracle and SQL Server. There's a lot of databases that support this capability. I was introducing 5,000 records per second with 85 columns. 5,000 records per second was being inserted. It took 3.5 minutes to add a million records to a table. When I used the batch move components in FireDAC and tried to do that, after about 10 minutes, it had moved over 20,000 records. In 20 minutes, I could have moved over something like 4.5 million records. Wow. So I don't talk about ETL in terms of the, extract, transform, and load, typically used in data warehousing. So ETL, extract, transform, and load. Mm-hmm. I do talk about array DML and how amazing it is and what amazing amounts of data you can work with quickly.
I find I use the
that's impressive.
The batch load stuff. Like if I have a CSV file I want to work with, I'll use a batch load to load it from the text file into FDMEM table, and then I can work with it and spit it back mm-hmm. out. I used to do all that stuff in Excel, and I tell you what, once I started doing it in FireDAC, I'm like, what in the heck was I doing wasting my time in Excel? All right. Well, very cool. So I just ordered my copy of your book. I know Nick's got a copy of the book. Highly recommended. I was so thrilled to hear you're writing this book because I know you do a very thorough job, and especially when it comes to database stuff. So this is like exactly the perfect book. I think if anybody's doing anything with database stuff, they need to read this book. So very excited about that.
Thank you very much, Jim. I really appreciate that. It was a labor of love. I felt completely prepared to do it. It surprised me how much work it took. And it was a work of – it was a lot of people worked on this. Loy Anderson, my wife, was the copy editor and publisher of the book. And I had four technical reviewers. Dmitry Arafiev, who is the creator of FireDAC, he was a technical reviewer. Dr. Holger Flick, who I mentioned earlier in this interview, he was a technical reviewer and reviewed every single page. Not every reviewer was able to do every single page. Holger was the one who did every single page. Jens Fudge from ArcherSoft in Denmark, he was a technical reviewer. And also we had some input from Bruce McGee of he's got a funny name company. I can't remember right now, but he's out of Toronto, Canada.
Glooscap.
Glooscap. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Right.
I actually have his blog open right here, and I was reading an article on my screen right now. I wasn't reading right now, but it's still open from earlier. that's awesome. That's like a who's who of tech reviewers right there.
Yeah. Well, I was very fortunate, and so a lot of effort went into this, and I really am very, very happy with the result. In fact, and I want to share with you that. Now, I mentioned early on that Nick and I did the Delphi Developer Days 2016 this past late fall and winter. I guess it wasn't winter yet. It was late fall, which Nick, by the way, I wanted to say once again, that was a great privilege and a whole lot of fun working with you on that.
It was.
This
but it was online.
It was excellent. This fall, Bob Swart is returning to Delphi Developer Days, and we are doing a Delphi Developer Days 2016 special database edition. This is going to be this is not going to be a typical Delphi Developer Days event. It's going to be two full days of joint presentations by Bob and I, and we're going to cover FireDAC, DataSnap, and RAD Server.
Wow.
And everyone who attends is going to get a special edition of this book, plus additional information on DataSnap and, for example, using DataSnap to provide data to mobile applications. And so we're going to have a special edition of the printed material. We're going to invite people to bring laptops. We in the past, we've not encouraged people to bring laptops because the pace of Delphi Developer Days tends to be rather fast, and there's a lot of different material being presented. In the 2017 special database edition of Delphi Developer Days, we're going to have electrical outlets for anyone who wants to bring a laptop and encourage them to open up projects that we are providing while we're talking about it, and they can play around with the projects. And we're going to have some times where there's some experimentation time where people can build either something of their own or can expand on something we've covered. It is going to be fast paced. We're going to cover a lot of material, but I'm very excited about it. And we are putting together the, we already have dates set for Developer Days 2017, the special database edition. We're visiting Chicago on September 25th and 26th. We will be in Antwerp, Belgium, October 9th and 10th, and Frankfurt, Germany on November 27th, 28th. You can learn more about it at the site DelphiDeveloperDays.com, and we're going to be offering probably by the time that this podcast is published, we will have early registration with deep discounts for early registration, and space is limited because of this special format. So you probably want to reserve a space in advance. We've been selling out most of our cities on Delphi Developer Days, which I appreciate, but it'll be a smaller event than traditional.
Wow. I'm a big fan of Delphi Developer Days. I've been to three or four of them, I think.
Yeah, at least three or four of them, Jim.
At least, yeah. Actually, a couple of them might be to multiple cities.
That's right. That's right. And And that's and Nick did too. Nick was a special guest, and then last year he was a full on co-presenter, and that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, this past year, the 2016 with Nick was the first time that we've done Delphi Developer Days in the fall. And the fall is a pretty busy time. In fact, I had to, because of Delphi Developer Days, I wasn't able to attend, for instance, the Entwinkler Conference, which is going on its 21st year this year. And so we're going in 2018, Bob Swart and I are going to return to doing Delphi Developer Days in the spring, where it's a little less crowded. And we just didn't have time to do it in the spring this year. Delphi Developer Days 2016 took us. We would have had to actually schedule Delphi Developer Days spring 2017 before we even started the first city of 2016. Now we're prepared and we're going to go back to the spring in 2018.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you brought up Delphi Developer Days. I definitely want to mention that. Wanted to make sure we covered that as well. But we're running out of time. So real quick, if you want to give us a tech tip or two from your book, that would be awesome.
Outstanding. Okay, so what I'd like to talk about in terms of technical tips relates back to what I was speaking about earlier. In Chapter 3 of Delphi In-Depth FireDAC, I cover configuration. And I just want to briefly mention that configuration is inherited and that all FD connections inherit the configuration information from the singleton FD manager. And any data set other than FD memtable inherits configuration information from FD connections. The FD memtable is different because it doesn't require a connection, doesn't use a connection, and therefore it inherits directly from FD manager. What this allows you to do is either configure at the FD manager part, in which case the properties cascade down through the FD connection to the FD data sets, or you can configure at the FD connection level, and those individually cascade down and are inherited from the FD datasets, or the FD datasets themselves can be configured and actually override. So a particular FD connection can override what it gets from the FD manager, and a particular FD dataset can override what it gets from its FD connection. And I want to talk about two specific configurations. And these are related to items that FireDAC users may run into issues and they think, hey, this doesn't work nice, or I don't like how it works. Well, it turns out FireDAC is so configurable, and this is configurable too. The first one I hear a complaint from some people is they say, I execute this FD query and it comes back and that's great. And then suddenly I realize all the records aren't there. As soon as I start navigating around programmatically or let the user navigate around, suddenly it's bringing in more records. So record count is changing. Well, there is a property in the fetch options property. So fetch options is a property that's inherited, and it has a property called mode. The mode by default is FD on demand or FM on demand. If you set it to FM all, when you execute that query, it won't return until all the records returned by that query are returned. And that's a very, very big difference, because if you do FD on demand, it's going to bring back the fetch options dot row set size times 2 number of records. The default's 50, so it'll bring back about 100 records, and that'll suffice you to get going. But then as you navigate around, suddenly it's going to go, the demand says get more records, and so it goes out and fetch more and more and more and more. FD on FM on demand as a mode returns very quickly, and people like that. But then if you start worrying, if you need all your records before you continue, you better go and get them all. So you set fetch options dot mode to FM all. The other one that I want to bring up is an option that is the reason why I consider it so important is that it's, again, different than other RAD Studio data access mechanisms. And it's found in the update options property, which is one of the inherited properties, and the property is update mode. Update mode indicates how FireDAC should write data back to the underlying database. The default in update mode is update where key, which means it only looks for records based on the matching key and overwrites the record when it's doing an update to the underlying database. Most of RAD Studios, and this goes all the way back to the original release of Delphi, and then even back further to the Borland database engine, the update mode has been update where all. The difference there is that when you say update, when you have the update mode being update where all, it compares all non-blob fields of the current record that's being updated in the where clause of the update statement before it overwrites a record. And what that does is allows the normal pessimistic locking optimistic locking, the optimistic locking mechanism to work its magic, which means the first user who is working on a record to post that change will have their change accepted. And if there were other simultaneous users working on that record and they attempt to post, it'll fail. That's a really big difference. In the case of update mode, where all, the first person to post succeeds, everyone else fails, and they're notified. Update where key only, the first person to post succeeds, and the second person succeeds, and the third person succeeds, and so on. It's the last person who posts who actually gets their version of the record posted. And the other people who posted before them are never told that their data is no longer there. And that to me is a really big deal. Sometimes you want an update mode of where key only. It's very fast. And sometimes the last person to post is the one whose data should post. But if you're not aware of this property, you may have customers coming to you and saying, I know for a fact that I had posted the data and I went back and looked at it later and it's not there. Well, that can happen when update mode is up where key only. I'm not saying that you need to change to up where all, but you just need to be aware that this property has a profound influence on how updates are written to the underlying database, and then choose the one that's appropriate for your particular needs.
Exactly.
So those are my tech tips.
Fantastic. Those are good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kerry, for being on here. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's been nice talking with both you, Jim, and Nick. It's been a while.
Yeah, great to hear from you.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing you online and seeing your events in the future.
Outstanding. Thank you so very much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
And thanks to everybody for joining us, and look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast at Delphi.org. If you want more information about the podcast, you can visit our website at Delphi.org. Until next time, may all your code compile and your programs be exceptional.